Midtown Manhattan, New York City, to the world. Tom Sullivan is on now.
Well, here we are, and happy Wednesday to you on this fifth day of September 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan. I want to move on to another hearing down the hall from the Kavanaugh hearing. But before we get to that, Leon from Florida had called. We didn't get a chance to get him on, but he's talking about the fact that a lot of those protesters get paid. And I recall that is, of course, the case. And if you go to, I went to Craigslist in Washington, D.C., and, oh, man, there's Be the Change You Want to See, Fight Big Pharma, Fight for Equal Pay Rights on behalf of the ACLU, Work for Amnesty International, Looking for Grassroots Activist for Hillary's Campaign. What? Paid Activist, Part-Time Jobs for College Students. So I opened up some of these things, and they pay. Well, let's look at the part-time job for college students. Paid activism. Where's the pay for? Oh, yeah, $13.25 up to $18 an hour. I don't know what determines 13 and a quarter versus 18, but they will teach you how to run skill workshops for your peers, how to oversee four or more people, how to meet with your staff to give daily feedback, how to become a field manager. And then if you're a college graduate, I don't know why it takes a college degree to do this, recruit and manage a staff of 10 to 40 people. So they've got it down. I mean, this is very well organized, and Craigslist is just one place that is saying, hey, you want to go become an activist, call us and we'll pay you. So there's some, you know, college kids are looking for some pocket money, and they're the ones over there yelling and screaming. There's some seniors probably on retirement income trying to make that stretch. So they're just, it's a money thing for a lot of them, but a lot of them are also very, very serious about it. So the other hearing that we have today is, they're protesting over at this hearing for the techies today that's going on in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee. And why it's before them is because of the fact that this was all supposed to be a hearing where they are digging in on how the social media companies are going to be able to thwart the Russians. And that the Russians, we got to keep them from interfering with our elections coming up in November. Thing about it, I think that's worthy, of course. We don't want foreign powers interfering in our elections. But the news flash is Russia has been doing this for decades. You talk to any of the people at the CIA or the FBI, and they all go, oh, yeah, it's been going on since the 1950s, post-World War II. So it's not like this is something new, but they act in some people act like this is all very new. What's new about it is obviously social media, which has changed everything. It changes the way that you and I communicate, and so it changes the way in which the Russians are going, okay, in the past, this is what we were able to do. Now we're able to do it on social media. And, of course, they get a lot more bang for their buck because a lot of the stuff that they do is free. They open accounts on Facebook or Google or wherever they're going, and they start their process of bots doing all kinds of things. Supposedly, the story is, and I find this to be somewhat comforting, is that they actually take both sides of an issue. They just want a controversial issue. And immigration, I don't know, legalizing pot. Take your pick of whatever hot button issue is out there, and they will put ads and write blogs and do everything on both sides of an issue. And when it's a candidate, they accuse the candidate of being great, and they also accuse the candidate of being subversive. So I don't know what you think about them holding this hearing. I don't know what the purpose is other than, again, for the glorification of the members of the committee. They'll get some TV time. I presume they're very upset because the TV time is limited because down the hall is a better TV time with Brett Kavanaugh. But this is going on as well. And so Tara Swisher, who wrote an op-ed for the New York Times today, I think is excellent. She's really smart about all of this. She's been reporting on technology for a long, long time. And she said the politicians are coming for Silicon Valley. She says some regulations are necessary, but others could hinder innovation and growth in what is arguably our country's greatest industry. If you take a look around, Axios has a map today of where computer chips are built, and microprocessors and all of that. Almost all of them are U.S. companies operating in the United States. There's a few foreign countries that are that have business set up in the U.S., but most of it, this is a U.S. product in a U.S. job in a U.S. location for so much of what is going on with technology. And there is no question that when the history books are written, they will call this the era in which we are living is the technological revolution. You probably read in your history books about the Industrial Revolution of the late 1800s. This is the technological revolution. And you know it and I know it, but I think we forget when it's just in front of us every single day. So the Senate Intelligence Committee gaveled their committee together a couple of hours back. And in front of them are two people and a chair. The two people are Sheryl Sandberg, who's the chief operating officer over at Facebook, and Jack Dorsey, who is the chief executive officer and the founder, co-founder of Twitter. The chair was for either Larry Page, the co-founder of Google, or Sundar Pichai, who is now the CEO of Google. But Google did not show up. They chose not to accept the invitation to appear. They offered up their top lawyer, but the senators did not like that so much, so they said, no, we don't want him. We want a big face that everybody will know, and we want to be able to grill them, and we want to do this and that and everything else. So what Kara Swisher is writing about is she says it looks like empty political theater. But she contends it's not. And she contends, and again, this is a woman who is well-regarded in the technology journalism world, and she says Congress has let Silicon Valley off easy so far. And if the tech companies want to avoid a raft of regulations, they need to be even more forthright about what went wrong and how they plan to fix it. And what went wrong is, again, they're assuming that Facebook and Google and Twitter can somehow stop the Russians from trying to interfere in our elections. And based upon the size and the scope of Facebook alone, with their billions of customers worldwide, how easy do you think it would be for somebody who is technologically savvy to be able to squirrel into their social media and open accounts and write blogs and place ads and do a lot of things that somehow forgive me, but I still am having trouble. Explain it to me if you have the answer. I'm still having trouble understanding how blogs changed somebody's vote from a Hillary vote to a Trump vote. And maybe they didn't do that. Maybe they just got a Hillary voter to sit at home because they thought Hillary had it in the bag. I don't think that's something that you and I got from social media. Everybody and their brother was reporting. I mean, why don't they go after CBS? Why isn't ABC and NBC sitting there? And Fox and CNN? Because everybody was reporting, well, it looks like the polls have Hillary winning this thing by a large margin. Oh, Hillary's going to win the election by a large margin. The polls say that Hillary is way ahead in. So everybody and their brother was told by the mainstream media, not social media, that Hillary was going to win. So did a lot of Hillary supporters, potential supporters, anti-Trumpers, never-Trumpers, did they sit at home? Yes. So how does that change? How can social media make that come out differently? Did anybody think that Donald Trump was going to win? All right. Five of you did. But when it comes to the publicity, and we had some calls, I remember taking calls from a lot of you in rural America out there saying, hey, I'm out in rural America. I'm a farmer. I'm a rancher. I live in a small town. And I'm telling you, there's Trump signs everywhere out here. And I'd get some calls from truck drivers who were crossing the country or going to places other than the East Coast and the West Coast. And the coastal areas are different than the rest of the country. And they were saying, yeah, I see Trump signs everywhere. But I am baffled about what this hearing is about today. And I don't know what regulations they can lay on them. So let me start it off by, do you see a regulation that will make changes in the fact that the Russians cannot interfere in our election? If you got the regulation, let me know what it is. 855-295-6600.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
So the hearings, by the way, the hearing is before the Senate Intelligence Committee, and Sheryl Sandberg is there and Jack Dorsey from Facebook and Twitter, respectively. But then probably about now, Dorsey is going to be by himself. He has to go to yet another hearing from the House Energy and Commerce Committee this afternoon on how Twitter manages its algorithm and moderates its content. Okay, so what do you think these senators know about algorithms? And, I mean, when Mark Zuckerberg sat there in front of them a couple of months back for 10 hours, the questions that came from the Senate and House Commerce Committee members showed their lack of expertise. Their questions showed incompetence. The politicians don't know what they're talking about in most cases. And they're the ones who are going to try to regulate these guys. So, Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana talked about his opposition to the government regulating social media.
I do not want government to have the say about what someone can say or not say on a social media platform. Some of my colleagues do. I do not. I want to see us set up some sort of fair third-party tribunal, sort of like ICANN, which assigns web names, that we can all agree to sort of be the neutral referee. I don't think we can any longer depend on the social media platforms. That's not as much of a criticism as it sounds like. It's just that these are subjective evaluations, and we've got to have somebody make the call that everybody perceives as fair. That's not okay. Government.
Yeah. So if it's not government, I don't know who this independent tribunal will be. ICANN, that's the group a lot of you know from getting websites and things like that registered. So he wants a third-party referral. What do you make of this? Phone number is 855-295-6600. How much should the government be involved? Dean, South Lake Tahoe. Hello, Dean.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
Going good.
Thanks.
What do you make of this?
I appreciate it.
You bet.
I feel like, you know, any kind of regulation on First Amendment speech, which pretty much is what Twitter and Facebook and whatnot is, you know, it's going to be an infringement because at any point in time, it's going to grow, right? The regulations are going to grow and grow over time. And one day it might limit someone who's not a bot to make free speech.
So the question in my mind is this just another company, or is it now a utility that you and I rely upon for our electricity and our water and other basics of living life? And utilities are in their own basket of regulations, supervision, oversight, all of that. Have they become a utility, or are they just like the dry cleaner down on the corner?
Well, that's a tough one. You know, they're definitely not anywhere near a dry cleaner. You know, we've become accustomed to using them throughout our daily lives for a lot of important things. But at the same time, they are providing a service. And in order to pay for that service, they're, you know, collecting revenues from ads, from companies. And at this point in time, there's still competition within that market. Anybody could disrupt them. You know, if the CEO of Tesla decided to jump in the game, he's got a lot of money. He could change things up. But it's still open for any
It really is. It really is. And they I'm glad you brought that up, because that is the area that I think they assume that these people are going to be monopolistic for the rest of our entire lives. And I said it before, but Bill Gates was interviewed about 10 years ago. Microsoft was on top of the world. Nobody could compete with Microsoft. And they said, well, you're on top of the world. And he goes, I don't know. He says, there's probably some fifth grader right now that's going to be my future competition. And I thought about it since, and guess who the fifth graders were? The two guys that started Google were in about the fifth grade when he said that. So we don't know what's coming. We don't know who the competition's going to be. But Congress thinks that this is it. Nobody will compete against them. I think they will. So how do you regulate that? Got to hit the break. Dean, thank you. Short break. We will be right back.
First Amendment 101. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
So besides Brett Kavanaugh getting the circus down the hall in Congress, over at the Senate Intelligence Committee, they've got the COO of Facebook and CEO of Twitter there. And Google said, we're not interested. No thanks. We'll send our lawyer, okay? And they said, no, we don't want that. We're putting on a show here. We don't want some no-name lawyer. We want Sheryl Sandberg, okay. We want Jack Dorsey, okay. So they wanted Larry Page or Sundar Pichai to show up, and they said, nah, we're not interested. I don't know if Google is smart or they're going to get spanked because of this, but they basically said, no, we're not interested in flying to Washington, D.C. to sit in front of you clowns who don't know. You don't know even what you're talking about. You can follow me on Twitter, Sullivan at Sullivan Radio. SubiMa62 says, we interfered in 18 such political interventions that took place between 1990 and 2000. We do it. They do it. We shouldn't be so shocked when this happened. We need to put on our big boy pants. I agree. Cyberlofi says, I closely followed Twitter for several weeks before the November 2016 election. From what I read over those weeks, I concluded Mr. Trump did indeed have a chance to win the election. Were some of those bots? Probably. But they did not influence me or those that I know. And that's my point. I don't know how you regulate this, but Congress is looking for a way to do it. 855-295-6600. Barry in Fort Myers, Florida. Hello, Barry.
Hi,
I was thinking about you over...
I'm really against any regulation. And certainly, I don't want the government regulating it, but the only thing I want the government to do is to make sure that these companies are fair if it's political to both sides. Matter of fact, they should just stay out of it because the people have a way of shutting them off. In Facebook, you could shut people off if you don't like what they're saying.
Sure.
Or in Twitter, you don't have to listen. The people will judge what they want to hear.
That's
or not.
Great, great point. You can block anybody you want. You control.
Right, exactly. I don't need a government now telling me what I could listen to and what I can't. I hate that, matter of fact, with a passion. They do that too much already.
Well, this is the beauty of it, because they are there with all these various groups looking different ways. As you point out, there are a lot of Republicans, especially conservatives, who think that these companies are hopelessly biased against them and shadow banning and all that. But then you got Democrats who are blaming these companies for letting the Russians throw the election in favor of Donald Trump. And then you've got progressives who want more restrictions on hate speech. And then you've got others who want some sort of privacy rules. And then there's the group of anything goes. That's the crowd I'm in, Barry. I don't know which crowd you're in, but I'm in the anything goes crowd. Sounds like you are, too.
I am, exactly. I'm in the anything goes, and I'll shut them off if I don't want to hear it. And I don't want to, like you said, with Facebook, I could block somebody. I don't have to. I could make the decision what I want to listen to or hear or not, just like any other free speech issue. I don't want government telling me what to do. I don't want companies taking what I say on Facebook or whatever, which they have. I will tell you for a fact, they've shut me down on Facebook. I put stuff in, it disappears. There's no doubt about that they're playing games. They have the formulas they've set up are very, very left-wing, and this I know for a fact. That's the thing I want government to say you can't do, just like any freedom of speech issue.
But
that they're going to put that out there, and it's just like the waves, the airwaves with the internet.
Right.
The government has to say you got to be open. That's it. End of story.
Well, but this is where I get into a dilemma, because I don't want them to tell the New York Times that they have to put in more conservative articles. And I don't want them to tell Fox News that they've got to put more liberals on their airwaves. This is, and I always go back to Fox News as I know it overwhelmed, but it was the reason that Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch came up with that was because they realized there was no voice for people on the right side of the ideological aisle. So it was wide open for somebody to come along and give a voice to the conservatives in this country. It worked. Right. It worked so successfully. They're the number one cable channel by miles. So I don't know. Will there be somebody that comes along with a conservative social media site? Kind of like Fox News?
Well, this competition, and you know, you would think that would happen, but I don't want them involved in any of this stuff. Like I said, I want freedom, that I can say what I want, that someone else could say what they want, and I can listen to them or not. It's not complicated.
No.
And I sure don't want somebody deciding what I could listen to.
Well, I don't know what your style is when you're going around on the internet, but I make a point out of reading righty and lefty sites. I watch Fox. I watch CNN. I like to get views from all different angles. And if they're going to try and dictate to these social media sites how they're supposed to be, I'm Let me go around and find different voices. Let them be a voice of the left or a voice of the right. I don't care. I'll find the other voices, to me.
Right.
But well, they're looking for... They're also trying to figure out how to get some campaign donations, I'm sure, from these companies. I think that's what a lot of this is about, Barry. I need a donation to my campaign, or I'll regulate you. Anyway, Barry, always good to talk to you. I appreciate the call. Richard, thank you for waiting. Welcome. Hi, you're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Richard.
I kind of wanted to know your opinion on all the internet is written material. It's no different than a book, other than it's anonymous.
Yes.
So how are they controlling our elections by giving us a point of view that we just don't know where it comes from, so therefore we believe it?
It's a very interesting point that you are making, and your timing, Richard, could not be better, because I'll get into it maybe next hour, or if I can, tomorrow for sure. But there is a story that's exploding right now out of the New York Times. They are publishing an op-ed from somebody that is high up in the White House about what it's really like working for Donald Trump, and it is anonymous, and they've published it, and it's the big story on CNN right now. So here we go into anonymous world. Do you believe it or not? It's a great question.
The other part of the issue, and whether these companies are getting in trouble, is if somebody makes a post as news and then they shut down dissent, opposite views, that's where they're getting into trouble.
Yes. Yeah, if they're going to open it up to my view, they have to open it up to your view. I don't know how you identify, though, for your anonymous point is an excellent one, but you can spoof who you are. You can spoof where your IP address is. You can become somebody totally different. Technology is going to have to solve that, but right now I don't know if they have that solution. I don't know the business well enough.
The last point real quick is that regulations have been with the newsprint. For instance, newspapers are not allowed to have radio stations. That's the way it used to be. So there are certain peripheral things that you can do to control a lot of this.
Yeah, they are trying to update that, by the way. But they don't regulate ads on papers, but they do on TV.
Enjoy your discussion. You seem to be very fair. It's appreciated.
I just call them like I see them.
You're with Tom Sullivan.
Phil Ogilvy sends me a tweet. He says, anytime you allow the government to get involved in business, public or private, it is regulation. Good point. Grandpa Jim says, manufacturing growing the fastest in the last 14 years. Market Watch story. Yep. It's coming alive. Joshua, thank you for waiting. Hi, Joshua. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I was just trying to go on with your statements about Google, Twitter, and all those the different companies.
Yeah.
About the freedom of speech of, you know, we know it only applies to the government stopping them.
Right.
So they can regulate whatever they want to put on their airwaves or their platform. But the unfortunate thing is, possibly we could go after them by being a monopoly like utilities. But
yes,
that would be the regulation to say, hey, you know what? Well, you have to be able to let the little guy on to your network because of such and such monopoly. I don't know the monopoly. You know, I don't know the regulations for that.
Well, but you bring up the point you bring up is a good one, because once they start regulating things, and this is where if I was the king of Google or Facebook or any of those, I would probably be pushing for regulation. You know why? Because it cuts out the little guy from coming in and competing with me. That it makes it harder. So I look at newspapers were king of the hill for a while. Now look at them. And they weren't regulated, but advertisement on television and radio was and is regulated. I've never understood that. But it, I think that's the big question is what you referred to is, are they going to be called a utility? And I hope not, because I know you may check your social media from daily or once a month or once a year, but you don't rely upon it. You rely upon electricity. You rely upon water.
I don't want it either. I'm like, you know, the same thing. It's like, remember, I mean, back, it was like, you know, I'm just going to say back when AM, the radio stations were the outlets for the opposite of what was being put on to ABC and all the other ones. So they had the radio stations came out and they were doing the opposite. My thing is I guess what I'm trying to say is that the owners or the CEOs of Google and those guys, why don't they realize that eventually if they don't allow individuals to say what they want to say against their preview, that there will be another option coming up soon. If it's not Twitter, it's going to be Bitter. Or yeah. I don't care. You know, just it's another program that's going to come up that's going to say, hey, you know what? You're sorry about you individuals that lean towards the left. We are going to be putting a platform that leans towards the right. Just, you know, that the same thing. It's going to come out. And it's unfortunate that they don't realize that, you know, we just want, I mean, those conservatives just want to have a fair speech for fair things.
That's why the obvious point to me is Fox News. Fox News was created to fill a gap. And look what they have been, enormously successful. So I don't know. Somebody called earlier about the fairness doctrine. Where we in radio had to have on, if I had somebody on with a left point of view, I had to put somebody on with a right point of view. They got rid of that, and look what happened. There's all kinds of media that leans to the left, the NPRs. There's radio that leans to the right. So the marketplace will take care of it. The marketplace will prevail.
I'm upset about the NPR, though. You got to remember, the guy is like, if it's public radio, then we should have fair on even on those things, and unfortunately, most
but they don't. Come on, NPR hangs out on the left side of the aisle. I know they're supposed to, since they're publicly funded, supposed to be fair, but it's a lefty group. Joshua, thank you. Mark Warner, who has some, he's very wealthy. I think one of the wealthiest senators. He started a telecom company, a cellular phone company. So he knows a little bit about technology. He says Google's absence does not excuse them from answering important questions.
Again, Google's an extraordinarily important company. The fact that they chose not to participate is pretty disappointing. But they're not going to be able to escape the kind of very serious questions we have. And for example, within the last 48 hours, there's been a group of researchers that tried to masquerade as Russian trolls and basically using the signatures from the Internet Research Agency, and they were able to buy and penetrate Google's advertising in a series of ways that indicate that Google frankly doesn't have its act together.
And Jim Cramer over on CNBC, Cramer points out that Twitter and Facebook have put themselves in this position because they did not do, like a lot of media companies have done, hire outside experts to guide them on what they should and should not do.
I was always surprised that these companies didn't get independent investigators, independent law firms come in. I mean, Wells Fargo had a problem. They bring in Sherman Sterling. Fox has a problem. They bring in Paul Weiss. These guys have a problem. They bring in nobody. And I think that they would all be in much better stead if they had Ken Feinberg, who looked at the GM ignition problem. and said, listen, here's our guy. He's come in, and he's really disrupted everything, but that's okay. We needed disrupting. The fact that they never brought in an outsider, the fact that the board's finally speaking today, we finally had someone from the board quoted in the journal. I mean, without an outside investigation, they are at the mercy of Congress. With one, they could say, here's the 200-page report written by someone we could not buy.
Right.
They were too good to buy, and that's what's killing them. But they never wanted that. And that's why I think Rogers, you know, got a good point. They never wanted anyone from outside to come in. Why? Hubris.
Yeah. Good point, Jim. Tim in Sacramento. Tim, hi. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
How's it going, Tom?
Good. Thank you. What you got?
Good. So I just want to throw this out. I'm a progressive. I'm from California. And, you know, I figured I should get our voice in on this conversation.
Sure.
So, believe it or not, this problem goes back to what was called the Adpocalypse. And it started with a YouTuber named PewDiePie.
Yep.
And he was accused of, you know, being racist and stuff like that.
Right,
and advertisers on YouTube, they began to start blocking channels. And that's where it originated. And I just want to get the point out that it's not only conservative voices that are being silenced. They're silencing any independent voices. And progressives, you know, to establishment Democrats, progressives are independent voices.
I agree with you 1,000%, and I'd only have a few seconds here, but yeah, in the media, they're media. In the media, if you go too far, your company will fire you. That's what's been going on.